Again, we want to thank you very much for coming out tonight. And it's our heart's desire and the desire of the believers here that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. Now, there are three things that I'd like to look at tonight, and I'm going to give them to you, and you can watch for them as we would read. But we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about his own sin, we're going to talk about his own soul, and his own body. We'll see that salvation and the relationship between you and God and sin is very personal. So Deuteronomy, if you have your Bible, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall their children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now we turn to Mark in the New Testament. Mark chapter 8. And verse 36. Mark chapter 8. And verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Finally, in 1 Peter, in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Now when we read this verse, we're reading of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says of Him, 1 Peter 2 and 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. His own body. So we see his own sin, his own soul, and his own body. In Deuteronomy, we have a repetition of the law given by God through Moses. It was a reinforcement of the law that had already been given to an older generation, and now the instructions are brought down to the younger generation. And I just see from that God's Word never changes. From one generation to another, God's Word is always the same. You can count on it. His Word is always there. The values within our world changes day by day. And there's a lot of time that we take from what is happening around us that we begin to adopt into our own way of thinking, and thinking that perhaps the Word of God would do the same thing. But it doesn't. From one generation to another, we sometimes say, if some of the old preachers came back today, they would die of a heart attack to see how the world is and what the belief system is. But not the Word of God. It is always the same. And so God would show us here that it says that every man must die for his own sin. God holds us accountable for our actions. Every man is responsible for his own sin, very personal. And he's answerable to God for his sin. When we come to the sin problem, when we come to the soul, when we come to eternity and God, it is between you and God. And we have to give an account to God for our sin. There is a sowing and a reaping principle that we have here from the Word of God. We know today that we would have those that would teach that you blame everybody else for your problems. We know today that if you go to one of our courts, there are attorneys that are supposed to uphold the law, but they uphold the crooked one. And they'll just bring out some type of a question and put a question in the mind of the jurors and the judge so that they don't know if this guy is guilty or not. But that is not true with the Almighty God, the one who knows everyone who is here tonight. God knows you. He knows that you were going to be here tonight. He knows your name and He knows all about you. And even though God is bringing before you the responsibility of your sin, yet remember this, God loves you. And we're going to see that Christ died for you. Blaming somebody else isn't something new. When we go to Genesis chapter 3, we know there that the first Adam and Eve that were first on the earth and in the garden, they disobeyed God. They sinned against God. And God came in the garden that day, and He said to Adam, "Adam, where art thou?" Where are you, Adam? You know, before that, the Bible would teach us that God would come in the cool of the evening, and He'd have fellowship. He would sit down and talk with Adam and Eve. But when sin came into their life, that broke that fellowship with God. And it took away their clear conscience. And the Bible tells us that they went and they hid. They knew that God was going to come. And they didn't feel good to be able to talk to God. God comes and they weren't there. I'm not sure if they had a table and chair set up, but they weren't at their usual spot. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" Now you and I know that God knew where Adam was. And God knows all about you and I. So why did God ask Adam where he was? Because God wanted Adam to understand that he knew, but Adam thought that he could hide from God. You cannot hide from God. And then he said, "Adam, what have you done?" And Adam says, "It was her fault. It was the woman you gave me." And then he turns to Eve. "Eve, what have you done?" You see, he didn't ask Adam and Eve together. Because we have to face the sin problem between ourselves and God. "Eve, what have you done?" "Ah, it was Satan. He made me do it." Pointed to others. But friend, tonight, God wants you to understand that you are accountable for your sin. The wages of sin is death. That's just not the physical death, but that is separation from God for all eternity. Sin demands payment, and it is your sin. What about your sin tonight? Where do you stand before God tonight? If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come tonight, would you be taken or would you be left behind? We read, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The judge of all the earth is the one that reminds us that we are responsible for our own sin. He'll make no mistakes. I remember a story one time I heard of a couple of loggers. They stayed in this hotel. They go out to work every day. One of the loggers worked up in the mountains. The other logger was what they call he was on the river. And he rode the logs. And he would bring the logs down the river to the mill. Well, the guy that was on the river, his shoes had to have, like the football, but better than that, they had to have cleats on the bottom. They had little spikes on the bottom. So when he rode that log, he could hold his balance. So he had those special boots. But one night, after they had their supper and relaxing, they went down to the bar and got into a card game, and one of the fellows lost all his money in this card game. But he knew that the fellow that he lost it to was cheating. But he couldn't seem to prove it anyhow. So he went to bed. The two of them went to bed that night in their room that shared together. But the guy that lost all his money, he was so upset and so angry. And he decided that he'd go down and get his money. And he was so angry with the fellow, he was going to kill him. And what he did was this. Made sure he was quiet, didn't wake up his buddy, but he put his buddy's shoes on. He was the boy that worked up in the hills, up in the mountains. And he put on his buddy's shoes that had the spikes in them. And he walked down the wooden floor, down the aisle, went into the room of this other fellow, and he killed him, took his money, went back to bed. Come to court, and the only evidence, was the spike marks in the hall. And the man who owned the shoes with the spikes was put to death because of that evidence. But it was wrong. It looked like it was right, but it was wrong. But the Bible says the judge of all the earth won't make that mistake. He knows all about us and our sins. And he would remind us tonight that every man must die for his own sin. Then in Acts chapter 8, in verse 36, we read, listen carefully. Here we have two of the greatest of life's questions. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here we have accountability for our life. Soul is a picture of our life. And God says to you tonight, what will it profit you if you would gain the whole world and lose your soul? What is your soul? The soul is the real you and I. We can go to a funeral, we can look in that casket, and we look at that individual, and we wouldn't know what that individual was like. Just the body is there. The moment that we take our last breath, the soul wings its way out into eternity. And it's either heaven or hell, all depending on what you have done with the man, Christ Jesus. The soul, we read as well, it says when God created Adam, there he made him out of the dust of the earth. And then it says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Really, it is God's breath which is eternal. We've been reminded often in this conference, God is, God was, and God always will be. But he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The most valuable possession that you have is your soul. And God would want you to stop tonight and think about it. What will it profit a man? You know, we only have to watch the news and see how people are striving to get those positions in the ball games or in the world where they're making millions, and people are making millions. And we only have to watch again. That is not happiness. It does not bring happiness. There's more sadness in Hollywood and in those lives. No. Happiness is found in your sins forgiven. However, God says he knows that it's our desire to go after other things. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The if. You know, really, it can't really happen. But God knows that we're going to try. The prophet, There is no prophet. No. When the day is done, when you come to your last day, you could have a bank account so full. But if you're not saved, you've lost it all. Not only what for, but you've lost your soul forever and ever and ever. And so God says, what is it going to profit? There was a man, his name was Alexander the Great. And I guess really maybe the if was partly true in his life. Historians would tell us that he conquered most of the known world in his lifetime. And when that happened, what can you do? Money doesn't bring happiness. And here is the richest man in the world. He's got the whole world in his hand. And we are told that he didn't know what to do. So in the evening, he'd leave his palace and he'd go out to the soldiers and he'd drink with them and play cards with them. And one night, as he was drinking, he drank himself into a drunken stupor. And as he tried to make his way back to his home, his palace, he passed out. And it was in the cold evening of the winter time. And they found him there in the morning and he was nigh to death. And they knew that he wasn't going to come around. So he had one request. And his request was this. He said, when I die, and you take me through the streets of the town, I want you to have my hand up high out of the casket. I want people to see that I went out of this world with nothing. And yet he had conquered most of the known world. And at the age of 33, Alexander the Great died. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Now it reminds me, his hand high and empty. But tonight, we want to take you to a man whose hands are held high and they are marked with the marks of Calvary. Now, for you and I. But the other question is this. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you trading salvation for tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, what is holding you back? What is it that you are hanging on to that you're not willing to let go? The two questions are asked. What will it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We can think of many things that men have traded their soul for. But there's one in particular, and his name is Judas. Judas walked with the Lord Jesus. Judas kissed the very door of heaven. But Judas had something else that he thought was more important than a soul. The priests, they offered to give him 30 pieces of silver if he would just betray the Lord Jesus, show them where the Lord Jesus was, so that they could take him and crucify him. And Judas, with the 30 pieces of silver perhaps jingling in his pocket, and he thought that he had made a good deal. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus that night. And he said to them, the soldiers that were with him, he says, the man that I kiss, it is he. And the Lord Judas was that close to heaven. The Lord Jesus could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Judas was at the very door. Judas walked with the Lord Jesus. But Judas traded his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And there are those that are perhaps here tonight, you've been brought up in a Christian home. You have heard the gospel. You know the truth. You know that you need to be saved. And yet there is something that you are trading your soul for tonight. It may be a little bit of pleasure. What is it? It isn't worth it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Finally, we read his own body. And we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for this truth. His own body. It says, He, the Lord Jesus, His own self, bear our sins in His own body. Really, this has taken us to Calvary. This has taken us to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His own body. There was only one that could take our place. Here, we are so happy that we can take you from the first, His own sin. Every man must die for his own sin. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Here was a man who could die for your sins. Here was a man that God says, that's the law. Every man must die for his own sin. But this is grace, God's grace. And this is love, God's love. And God loved you and I so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. His own body. He bore the wrath of God, the payment for sin, and those hours of darkness on the cross in order that you and I might go free. Friend, tonight, are you going to die for your own sin? Or are you going to believe that another died for you? Believe, receive into your life the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, you're hanging in the balance. What is it that you're willing to exchange the most valuable possession you have, your soul? What is it that you are exchanging for? Won't you come tonight? Receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He died that you might have eternal life.